Doug, for that introduction into what God has laid on my heart to bring this morning. It's, it always amazes me how He ties the two together. Doug was talking about us being sent out and how, oh yeah, the children can go. Maybe they already have. I don't see any left in here, so we're good. Praise the Lord. And I titled the lesson today, What's Your Talent? I want to look at the parable of the talents this morning and see what God wants for us to do with our talents. What are your gifts and abilities? What are you good at? What do you like to do? What do you enjoy? Those are the things that we need to look at this morning to see what He's going to do in our lives. Let's go to the Lord in prayer before we begin. Father, I thank You this morning for Your Word. Thank You, Father, that You have again given us a message, Father, for the body of Christ. And Father, I pray this morning that as we look at Your Word, as we share together, that You'll just make our desires towards You, Father. Father, that we want to love You and we want to serve You, walk with You. And Father, in doing that, then we can share with the body of Christ the abilities that You've given us. Make someone else's life better because of what You have done for us, Father. So, Lord, as we share together this morning, Father, just give me the words to say that I'll not get in Your way, but that I'll allow You to speak through me. Father, that we'll have ears to hear what You're saying today to the church. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to begin today in Matthew 25. parable of the talents is actually in two of the Gospels, Matthew and Luke. I'm going to use Matthew's account of it. Matthew 25, beginning at verse 14. And the parable of the talents is actually, it's actually talking about the kingdom of God and that the man was going on a journey to get away and to become a king in another land, actually. He was going to another land and but he gave his servants some of his money that they could use it while he was gone, increase it, do what they wanted to, basically, with it, with the abilities that they had. And so that I want to look at these as it talks about it. And also in my NIV about the talents. Our talents. See if I can keep this thing hooked on here today. So let's go ahead and read through Parable of the Talents. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents of money, and that is about a talent is worth about $1,000. I've got my mother's old Bible, and I was looking at it when I was preparing this, and she has an old Living Bible. I don't know how many of you have heard of the Living Bible. It's a little green Bible, and it is so marked up and used. I was blessed to be able to get it from after my parents both passed away. I was able to get that Bible of hers, and she just got stuff underlined, and it was just a blessing for me to go through and look at that and it uses a different word, but it's the same thing. It means the same thing. So they say, gave all these talents, and then it says the man went on his journey. The man who had received the 5 talents, I'm in 16 now, went at once, put his money to work, and gained 5 more. So also the one with the 2 talents gained 2 more. But the man who had received the 1 talent went off and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. How many times do we just hide our talent? When the Lord made each one of us, He made us different. He made each one of us a little different than the others. I like things differently than some of you do. I like things different than my wife even. Her and I are total opposites. When they say opposites attract, we definitely do. But we're different. We think differently. We like different things. But one complements the other. And it's the same way in the body of Christ. Because we're all different, we can fill up all the little voids that need to be filled because Jen likes different things than I do. Kathy likes different things than I do. But if we'll do the things that we like, there's a verse in, where is it? God gives us the divine, in Psalms 37, where God gives us the desires of our heart. And He's the one that puts those desires there so that we're able to do things joyfully. He's not going to give me a job that I hate in the body of Christ where I'm just going to dread doing that every time I have to do it. And I've noticed that if He gives me something to do, He's going to give me the things I need to do. An example of that would be when David went up against the Goliath. David was a little guy. Goliath was 9 or 10 feet tall. He was a big fella, bigger than anyone we've ever seen. And here's a little shepherd boy, but he knew God. He knew that God had told him to go up against Goliath. So he went to the brook and got his 5 stones and went and killed the giant. Because God gave him the ability. He gave him the desire to go and do it. Had he been scared, he obviously wouldn't have went. But he had already killed a lion and a bear to protect the sheep. He knew that God gave him the strength to do that. He knew that God was going to give him the strength to go up against Goliath. And I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that when God gives each one of us a job in the church, or as we go out, as Doug was saying this morning, as we go out into the community, we have something to offer others. And I want you to try to figure out what that is for you today. What can I offer God? What talent has He given me that I can use in the community? Jesse and Brett were to a meeting this week. There's a lot of the churches that are coming together to resource what each church can give and figure out how to get that into all the churches so that many people can be blessed from the different resources in the other churches. You know, so they're just in the planning stages of that, and they've just had one meeting so far. But we want to get involved in that, in helping where we can, churches drawing together rather than pushing apart. We pushed apart long enough. Guys, the church, it's time for the church to become one, to become a community, as it were, rather than 25 individual spots to worship. Even though we're here, they're there, we're still all part of the body of Christ. We're all working together for the same thing. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received the 5 talents brought the other 5. "Master," he said, "you entrusted me with 5 talents. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." The man with the 2 talents also came. "Master," he said, "you entrusted me with 2 talents. See, I have gained 2 more. His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." Then the man who had received the 1 talent, he came and said, "Master, I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your talent in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you." So he hid his talent, did nothing with it. And what's the master say? He replied, "You wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned I would at least have received back interest. Take the talent from him and give it to the one who has the 10. For everyone who has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing teeth." So, again, it's talking about the kingdom of God coming, Jesus coming back for his church. Will we be part of the call to say, "Yes, Lord, I'll use my talent for you. I'll do what you've asked me to do"? Or are we going to be the one who buries our talent and he says, "I don't know you. You haven't paid any attention to the love that I've showed you"? I found an article in Reader's Digest that goes along with today's message, and I'd like to share it with you. This is about a young lady that lost her husband and was trying to figure out what to do with her life. And it's entitled, "Family That Grew from Grief." On October 19th, 2016, 40-year-old Bobby Floyd went to Penn's Landing in Philadelphia and released dozens of balloons. The occasion was more somber than celebratory. She was honoring her late husband on the 2-year anniversary of his death. So this was 2 years after her husband was killed. As she and her 2 sons, ages 8 and 13, watched the colorful balloons float up to the heavens, they thought of the missing member of their family and of the motorcycle accident that had taken him away from them. Later that same day, Floyd's phone rang. It was a social worker asking whether she'd be willing to foster 2 sisters, ages 7 and 11. So she and her husband had talked about adding to their family, a dream she had initially thought had gone with him. But about a year later, she had reconsidered and signed up to become a foster mother. "It was lonely," she says, "and fostering is not adopting. That was my mentality. I'm just fostering these kids, loving them and then giving them back. And now at last, the call had come." So she was happy to take both girls, but when she opened her door to greet them, there were 3 children, not 2. The girl's brother, Lysander, 9, also needed a foster home. Floyd agreed to take him in as well. Siblings often get separated in the foster care system, and she wanted to prevent that, even if she only had 3 bedrooms. Per her fostering agreement, Floyd took the kids every 3 months to family court in case their biological parents were ready to take them back. Each time, the judge extended the foster agreement for another 3 months. Meanwhile, the longer the kids stayed, the more they grew to trust her. They wrote notes saying that they wanted to stay here, she says. Months turned into a year when Floyd learned that her 3 kids had 3 more siblings, a sister and 2 more brothers, in the foster system. She decided to make room for them. He started adding bunk beds and making lofts, she says. For some of the siblings, Floyd's house was their 9th foster home. I don't know if any of you are in foster care or have ever been. Oh yeah, you guys started out that way, then been adopted. But the Lord had given her the desire to keep these foster kids together, this whole family of children. I just kept seeing this family getting tossed around in the system, she says. So I figured, why not take them all? When Serenity, one of the 3 girls, asked that she officially adopt them, Floyd couldn't say no. Their 2 biological sons were on board. Last year, the adoption became official for 4 of the 6 kids, and it's almost complete for the other 2. Then Floyd will be the mother of 8, ages 5, 6, 9, 11, 12, 13, 15, and 17. We're like a well-oiled machine, she says. In the kitchen, we're sliding and grooving. We glide in and out of bathrooms. We make it work. So God had given her desire, and then he gave her the ability to follow through with it. Just a few years ago, Floyd was a lonely, widowed mother of 2. She can't help but think that her late husband had a hand in her life's transformation, especially since the phone call from the social worker came on the anniversary of his death. I feel like he was saying, here, take these kids, get busy, stop crying. And I was busy, but I was still crying. And then it was like, here's 3 more kids, take them. Now I have no time to cry, so I just laugh and play and yell all day. And I wake up and do it again. So God gives us the desire, then he gives us the ability to follow through with it. This was a good example of life today, and how we can take the desires that God gives us, turn them into reality. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, or just a few verses there that I'd like to share with you. 1 Corinthians 12:7-10. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given a message of wisdom. To another, the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. And to another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit, and to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, and to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to still another the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he gives them to each one just as he determines. God gives us our gifts. He gives us our talents. Thank him that He gives to each one of us differently, so that I don't have to do something that I hate all the time. He allows us to do the things that we love. He gives us those desires and allows us to do that. And then let's go to Psalms 37. We'll finish up in Psalms 37 today. A lot of good stuff here in Psalms 37. I'm not going to read the whole psalm. You can do that this afternoon or sometime this week when you have time. But we're going to look at just a few verses of 3 through 7 to begin with. 3 starts out, it says, "Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Delight yourself in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart." You don't have that verse underline it, remember it, know where to look for it, because it's an important verse in our lives. Verse 5 says, "Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in Him and He will do this. He will make your righteousness shine like the dawn, the justice of your cause like the noonday sun. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for Him." How many times have we run ahead of the Lord? Did it our way. Didn't work out so good, did it? For me, it didn't. I've learned to try to wait for Him, for His timing. That the rest of that verse says, "Do not fret when men succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes." So, This whole chapter is talking about the righteous and the unrighteous and how God takes care of us and how the unrighteous He forsakes. Let's go over now to verse 23. "If the Lord delights in a man's way, He makes his steps firm. Though he stumble, he will not fall. For the Lord upholds him with His hand. I was young and now I'm old. Yet I have never seen the righteous forsaking or their children." Mine says begging bread. Mom's old Bible says I've never seen anyone's children going hungry. "There are always generous and lend freely, and their children will be blessed." So that's a person who the Lord delights in. He'll make your steps firm. You won't stumble and fall. I didn't look it up. There's a verse somewhere that says He makes our path straight and level. Much easier to walk on a level surface than it is up and down hills. Or there's rocks or roots to stumble on. We've been trying to clear. There's a little dike around Jamie's pond. We've been trying to clear it so we can walk there. And there's groundhog holes. There's roots sticking up. So right now, if we would try to walk around there, you would trip pretty easily. And God's saying, "I'll make your path level where you won't stumble." And that He'll do that for us. And then I want to finish up in the last two verses of chapter 37, verse 39 and 40 say, "The salvation of the righteous comes from the Lord. He is their stronghold in time of trouble. The Lord helps them and delivers them. He delivers them from the wicked and saves them because they take refuge in Him." Because He is our refuge, because we decide we're going to take refuge in our Father, we can learn to trust Him. We can trust Him to take care of everything that we do. We can trust Him that if He gives us desire and the talent to do something, He'll give us the ability and the things we need to do it as well. So as you go this week, take your talents and use them for God's glory. So as Doug and Jen come back to bring us a song here at the end, if any of you need prayer for anything, Jesse and I will be here to pray with you. If you would like somebody to pray with you where you are, just let them know that. I thank the Lord that this is a praying body, and you've been all getting the text, what's been going on with Becky, so keep her in your prayers this week. This is a hard time. I don't know how many of you have ever lost a child, but it's hard. It's so hard. And so she's going to need the Lord's strength this week. So pray for her and Burlington. Pray for Dave's family and Steve's family. She just recently lost a brother as well. So some things to pray for this week. If you need prayer, come up. We'll pray with you.